Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
So what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
And man, we are back with another episode, man. Listen, Florida State is now 3-0, 31-29 win over Boston College. But we're gonna dive into that. Sam, we got a big one today, man. Jags and Chiefs, man. How you feeling about it?
I feel like we finna win.
Oh, okay, cool.
I feel good. I feel real good. I do.
Yeah, I don't feel good at all about it. I believe we're gonna lose. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are desperate coming off a loss or whatever it is. I think you got Kelce back, you got Jones. It's gonna be a long day, and our offensive line isn't gonna be able to keep Trevor Lawrence upright, which then forces mistakes. I think you see a little bit of bad Trevor today, and this game gets away from it.
Man, did you catch the end of the Colorado game this morning? About an hour ago.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you, it's dedication being a Colorado fan, man. Like I ain't, you know what I mean, watching them games and that you know what's going on out there. 10 o'clock kickoff, man, that didn't really get started about 10:15, you know what I mean? Like
that jump was so long. It was a great game though. Shout out to that.
I missed it. I didn't make it. Florida State played that late kickoff. I didn't make that. I ain't finished that one either. And I damn sure didn't make it through that at 2 o'clock in the morning. I made it to about middle of the fourth before I finally was like, my body was just gave out on me. I woke up this morning and saw the highlights on Sports Center.
Right. So where you want to start at, man?
Thoughts on the game, man. Listen, they played a close one. I know it was a lot of it felt like old, like last season a little bit, where the fans was, you know, like people was, if you was too negative about the win, then people started getting mad. If you were too positive about the win, it didn't seem to make no sense. It felt like last year a little bit, and I ain't really like that. But the game itself, man, is a I'm gonna let you go first, actually. I just kind of want to see what your thoughts were on the game, and then I'll tell you what I think of it.
I think, for one, from what I heard, and it was on Twitter too, like, you know, a lot of the team had the flu, was battling the flu. So that explains some of that away. I just think that it's tough, man, because I think a lot of FSU fans feel like we're finna win a national championship. And normally national championship teams at Florida State are very dominant teams. Right. So we look at them through a dominant prism, right? Like, you know, because people keep bringing up the Florida State versus BC in 2013. Yeah. And, you know, if you go back and watch that game, after that Hail Mary, that game was over. Like, FSU won that game by, like, I think 2 touchdowns, I think. And they was, like, in full control of that game by the end of the game. You know, this wasn't that. This was more like, you know, they came out after half. And Florida State scored, and I was thinking, okay, maybe game's over now. And then you had a guy fumble, which that's kind of like crazy to think that FSU would fumble the football, because that's like such a point of emphasis for Mike Norvell with his running backs. So you get a fumble. The offense is, and I think I talked to you about this, and I said on this podcast several times, it's not a progression offense. It's not a find the open guy offense. It is a, I'm setting up plays to create shot plays. So in that scenario, if the defense guesses right on third down and on first down, then that's it, right? So it's like I know in some offenses, like in Texas offense, you know, they want to have answers for the defense. Mm-hmm. Well, our offense doesn't do that. Our offense is saying, no, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, which, and I've said this before, Kyle Shanahan does it. Mike Sean McVay does it. You know, Kyle does it a little less Brock Purdy now, because now he got a quarterback that can do progression offense. So now he runs a lot more progression. So I think it's some limitations with offense when it comes to that type of stuff. So, you know, is they still a great team, a good team, man? That's to be seen. That's to be found out. Like I said, it's not a great schedule. So it's not a lot of teams that can take advantage of you. And then I thought I think BC O-line is a little better. And I think we said this before the season. We talked about it yesterday. BC O-line is a little better than I think people would get them credit for. So that didn't surprise me that they was able to block them at times. But I do think if you got guys that you're calling first-round draft picks and top five picks and stuff, they should have a bigger influence on the game. So now, you know, maybe you just got a good defensive line. Maybe it's not a great defensive line. You know what I'm saying? I do think it's an indictment that you have to blitz to get pressure sometimes. That's a little bit of an indictment on what your defense is doing, you know, or the players on the defense. So, but it's a good win. And in college football nowadays, man, you just have to win. You just got to win in college football in advance, man. So I wouldn't get too upset about it, you know. They got another test this weekend, so we'll see how they pass that one, you know.
I looked at this game and I thought Florida State feels a lot like that. I don't know if you remember that 2013 Miami Heat team after LeBron won his first chip. I watched them play almost every game. And I saw them live in person a couple times in Orlando. And the funny thing about that team was they just took breaks. Like middle of games or whatever. They knew they were good. They kind of felt themselves a little bit. They knew they had a good team. And so they basically would like flip a switch. Like I watched the games and it looked like, all right, man, we playing these dudes. They're not very good. So we'll kind of, you know, we'll go through the motions a little bit and just kind of be a little better than they are.
Right.
Then all right, we got to play for real now. And it's usually like they pick around somewhere around a little bit before half and right after halftime, they make the adjustments and they'd be like, all right, man, let's flip the switch, turn it on, show everybody what we got, get up big, cut that switch back off onto the next week.
Right.
End of the day, the goal is the championship. So when you get into the middle of these games and you playing Boston College and teams who you feel like you should beat or teams that you are better than, you know, just from a talent perspective, it's, hey, man, get out here, flip this switch real quick, put up some points, and get out of here. And that was kind of, I thought, the mindset of this team, right? I thought they came out a little slow as well. Let me see what Boston College got. Okay, they're going to give us a lot this game. Let's turn it on real quick. And you saw them, you know, it looked like the game was over. 31-10, game over with. It's a wrap. Let's go ahead and pack up the buses. Let's start grabbing equipment. You know what I mean? Like everybody, coaching staff, players, everybody just shut it down. Went into cruise control mode. And that doesn't work against certain teams because some teams going to keep fighting to the end of the game. And that's kind of what happened this one, right? But it was also a lot of fluky stuff. They turned it off 31-10. Boston College continued to play at that 100%. You know what I mean? Like, no, we still playing. We just because I looked 31-10, then some fluky stuff happened, and it gets to be a little crazy. So in my opinion, I honestly looked at this game and I said, they'll dog Clemson next week because they'll be up for that game. It's a rivalry. They ain't won in a while. A lot of hurt. They'll get up for that game next week, and it'll look a lot like LSU almost. They ain't going to take the foot off the gas. They'll probably be the aggressors. They'll come in. They'll hit hard. They'll move fast. And I say, and that's so I honestly looked at the game from a completely different perspective of like, yeah, they do got some issues. Let's be clear. They got Florida State has some like issues on defensively and offensively. The problem is I've also watched all the other teams of college football. It don't mean they can't win a championship. Like all the teams in your top got flaws, right? You know what I mean? All the top teams have flaws. All the top teams have issues. Offenses that were great last year are not nearly as great. Defenses that were good are not nearly that were great is not nearly as great. I mean, we watched Georgia and South Carolina. I don't think South Carolina is all that good, but South Carolina pretty much held Georgia in check for a large part of that game.
Yeah, but but with the Georgia South Carolina thing, I mean, once Georgia took that game over, they took it over. You know, they took it over.
But all it took was a fluke game or something. You know, all it took was a fluke play or something like that to happen, and then they, you know, South Carolina could have been right back in the game. You know what I mean? Like,
Georgia smothered them in that second half. Like Georgia, I mean, my thing is, I think,
but the problem, because Georgia's defense is good though. Like,
well, that's the problem though, right?
Yeah,
that is the problem.
You're missing what? That's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is like, everybody has a little bit of flaws. Everybody has, you know what I mean? There is no perfect team. Like, in other words, last year, Georgia was going to blow the doors off of no matter who they played, right? Because Georgia was that good, in my opinion. Right. I thought they were going to absolutely kick shit out of everybody. Georgia ain't that this season. Georgia can be beat. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who on their schedule can beat them right now, but they can be beat. You know what I mean? Same thing for Michigan, same thing for Ohio State, same thing for Oregon, same thing for USC. Like, all of, like, USC has a great offense, fantastic offense. I don't know if their defense is there. You get what I'm saying? Like, so everybody has, like, strengths and weaknesses, so I don't think there's a world, there's a world-beating team. So then if you say, all right, well, Florida State's in the mix, I'll take it. Yeah, they got some flaws. Yeah, they have some problems. But I would like to say, man, thank goodness you can learn some things in a win. Because Florida State has had these losses where, you know what I mean, had those situations where I just knew. Watching that game, after the fumble, back in the day, the whole team head would have dropped, momentum would have shifted, and they would end up losing that game. I think this team is a little different. And so, again, learn the lessons in the positive. Learn the lessons in the positive. Get the win. Get out of the 3-0. All the goal, everything that was on the table beforehand is still on the table after today. I'll take it.
Yeah, well, I guess my problem with that theory is this is the whole thing, right? If you watch, okay, you got Georgia. I think Georgia's probably the best team in the country, right? And I do think they're flawed, right? But what they're good at, they're really, really good at. Like that they're not deficient at where they're good at, right? They don't take, like, that defense doesn't take plays off. You still have to earn everything you get against that defense, right? So I guess my problem would be you have to develop, like, championship habits, right? You have to develop a championship DNA to win a championship. If this offense was consistently humming at all times, because, like, even USC, their offense consistently hums. Like, I mean – their defense could be playing like shit, and they would give up a lot of points. But their offense is going to consistently move the football up and down the football field, not make mistakes, score touchdowns. Like, that's just what they do. I think with FSU, there hasn't been enough success around here to have a take the pedal off the gas mentality at times. Like, so you have to develop habits. You have to develop habits if your goal is to win a national championship. And I think that is Mike Norvell's goal this year, is to win a national championship.
100%.
Right. Now, whether I agree that what this team can or cannot do to sit on this team, you know, I think they got the capabilities to do that. But then also, it's still early in the season. It's like week three, right? So you kind of – I do think them playing with lineups is a little bit kind of worrissome. Like – and I get Gass was hurt on the offensive line. So I understand, right? Dent was hurt at safety. And you're talking about some guys battled the flu during the week. So some of that stuff is kind of understandable. And I think you can kind of forgive some of it. I think the biggest problem you have is on your offense. If your offense is going to be your superpower, then it has to be super at all times. It can't be fumbling the football away. It can't be. Jordan Travis can't be doing these lollipop dances and getting hit for no reason. Like, you can't be doing that. Like, you're the best player on the team. You need to, play's over. I'm throwing the ball out of bounds. Let's get to the next play because we're that explosive on offense. We're that explosive on offense that a second and 10, a third and 10 doesn't kill us. You know what I'm saying? This is not last year's team where you, you know, where you had to make super plays at all times to keep the offense on track. You don't have to do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? And I do think – The Benson tiptoeing thing, I see a lot of people put that in the thing. This is who he is. And he was that last year. And I said that. He was that the whole time last year. He has to get going. The offensive line has to make a lot of space for him to move. Now, once he hit his second gear, I mean, he's as good as any running back in the country. But when he has to find the hole, make the hole, create leverage and stuff, he's not that good at that stuff, man. You know, Hill is a much better running back. Ward, who left, was a much better running back at this stuff. And I ain't saying Benson can't be good because I thought the same thing about Nick Chubb. I thought Nick Chubb was kind of average in college. I'm like, eh. But, you know, but he went to Cleveland Browns. They put a great offensive line in front of him. Now he's like one of the best running backs in the NFL. But in college, you're not going to always get that clean look and that clean view sometimes. So I would ease up on the Benson slander, because I think that's who he was last year. That's it, and that's who he is this year. Don't mean he's bad. He's just a good college player. You know what I'm saying?
To address, I don't believe Jordan Travis is playing.
I said that last week though.
I kind of waited though. Like everybody was saying he wasn't playing great last week, and I was like, I didn't really know what the offense was. I was like, I couldn't figure out what they were trying to do. This week, it looked exactly the same. So at this point, I'm going to say I don't believe Mike Norvell didn't come into Boston College with a game. That's just my opinion. Like, again, I could be wrong, but I don't think he went in with, hey, Jordan, just keep throwing 50-50 balls to your wideouts. Like, I just don't – I know that's part of the offense. I don't believe that's the only part of the offense. But when you look at the game, it's simply just
–
It doesn't seem like he's willing to just drive the team down the field. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's a him thing or if it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's the pressure. I don't know if I've been really trying to figure it out. Cause like, again, last week I didn't jump on it. I said, you know what? I blamed it on the game. This week, I know for a fact they refused. Like, I know for a fact this was Jordan missing guys. And like, I'm positive Keon Coleman is running some intermediate routes and just Jordan's just not looking at it. You know what I mean? Like, again, I would love to see the All-22s to see kind of how these plays are developing, because it looks like everything is just back shoulder 50-50 ball. That's great. But the ball then has to be perfect every single time on the 50-50 balls. Keon Coleman not even getting an opportunity on these 50-50 balls. Well, you know what I'm saying?
When you play a good defensive, a good cornerback, 50-50 balls, they're not going to – just like that defense, that cornerback from BC, that dude's like 6'2".
6'2". Yeah.
Weighed like 200 pounds. And they were saying that Halfley said that's one of the best defensive backs he's coached. And I don't think Halfley would just say that because he was at Ohio State. Correct. He coached some really good defensive backs at Ohio State. So, you know, and I'm not saying Keon Coleman's not great. He's a good player, man. But if you're going to rely on 50-50 balls, they're going to become 50-50 balls against a good defensive back.
That's the point. And that's the point, right? And that's why Jordan has to run the offense. Jordan is not running the offense right now. Like, I don't know what Jordan's doing. I don't know if he looking for yards or he's stat hunting because of the high. Like, I don't know. But I can tell you it doesn't look like LSU won. And two, these last two games haven't looked like any offense whatsoever. Like, it's been – and then they keep throwing Johnny to – again, Johnny didn't drop a single pass. Shout out to Johnny, whatever. Johnny is still not the best receiver on his team. Keon Coleman is a better receiver than Johnny Wilson. I understand the ceiling may be high for Johnny and all that good stuff. You still have to get – Keon Coleman should not finish a game with two targets. It just shouldn't happen. Under no circumstance should it be a case where Johnny Wilson catches, whatever, 8 balls or 9 balls, 10 balls, and Keon Coleman don't catch it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to find ways to utilize him, get him involved early. Because, again, a guy who is on a one-year rental can check out. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why we talked about Mike, this being one of Mike's toughest jobs. He got to figure out a way to tell Jordan, you got to get Keon. You got to look Keon's side more. I understand Johnny, your man. That's your dude. All sorts of stuff he was here last year. You got to get Keon Coleman involved in the offense. Get him in rhythm. Get him playing. Get him some quick. Let him make a catch early. That way he gets involved and feels involved in the offense. Yesterday, it never felt like Keon Cole was even involved in the offense. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. Well, you know what I mean? It felt like they were featuring Johnny, and it felt like they were featuring Bell. You gotta figure out a way to feature Keon Coleman, like especially as your best receiver, because what you don't want is Keon to decide, okay, well, I'm out here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just out. Like, yeah, where was Winston Wright? Where was that? Like, it's just not enough. You got too many athletes, too many playmakers, and too much skill on the offense to continue to just throw the ball to Johnny or to continue to throw 50-50 balls or the wheel route to Toa Philly. Like, it's becoming real, real predictable if this is what you're going to be. You know what I mean? It makes it easy for a good defensive coordinator with scheme all that shit away. And now what are you going to do? You have to run the offense. And I don't think Jordan Travis is playing within the offense. I think Jordan is – I don't want to say stat hunting, but he's just not playing. I'll just leave it at that. He's not playing well enough to run this offense so the offense can't hunt. And the difference between – Caleb and Jordan is one guy is running their offense. Just, you know what I mean? I know what we're doing here. Another guy right now doesn't seem like he is running the offense. It looks like he's, you know, big game hunting or shot plays, 50-50 balls, and letting your receivers go up and make plays. And I need Jordan to go back to hey man, just go run the offense. Don't do too much. Don't do too little. Just run the offense.
I don't know if the offense has answers.
I've seen. We watched the North Carolina game. We watched various other games where they have had 10, 11 play drives, and then you might hit them to set them up for something later. That is his offense. It is his offense. Is that he's looking. He's throwing this play to run another to run the shot.
You think they have a lot of? You think they have a lot of plays where they run progressions on it? I don't see a lot of plays there. That's progressions on there. I don't see a lot of. Okay, I gotta
look at this offense. I agree with you. It's just hard for me to look at this offense and say the whole offense is just 50-50 back shoulder flow.
My question is: when have you ever seen Jordan Travis take a snap, look right, look left, hit a guy in the flat? When have you ever seen him look left, look right, hit a guy on a curl that's just sitting in the middle of a zone?
Mm-hmm.
I can only count like 3 or 4 times I've seen that. Like, I just don't think that's what the offense does. I think it's designed, okay, I'm a run a motion here, throw a dump off to Bell. I'm a run a motion here, catch Johnny Wilson dragging cross right here. I'm a run a motion here where Johnny was dragging it, and now I'm going to send Keon on a deep post where they cross up the linebackers and safeties. But it's not a lot of, okay, they run the zone, a cover two. I want you to sit in the zone right here and stop on this drag. You know, I don't think it's just a lot of progressions in the offense. I'm not saying it to say it's a bad offense because it is a good offense. I think it's more complex in the run game. I think what they do with pulling centers, pulling the tackle, fullbacks creating angles in the run game, I think that's, like, really complicated. But I don't think the passing game is, like, that type of complicated, though. And I think with Jordan is, I think a lot of times on some of these plays, he should, once that shot play ain't quite there, he should just run and take those free 5 for 6 yards. But instead, he's like sitting back there, run left, try to turn back right, almost out of bounds, and throw it back on a comeback route. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, next week they're going to have a great game.
There is no flow to the offense. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Next week, they have a great game plan. They have a great game plan next week.
And I was just about to say, the biggest thing is they don't have a run game this season. Like, they've relied on the reason why they don't have a run game is because they have to make the decision that Rodney Hill is a better back. Toefield is a better back right now than Trey Benson. And that hurts me to say because, again, Trey Benson is, you know, was everything. But Trey ain't got it right now. Like, I don't know what it is. Rodney Hill is running a whole lot better than him. I mean, and it ain't close. Like, it's not close the way the two running backs are playing. To a Philly, he's running harder than Trey Benson. Like, I don't know how you make the move to take your starting running back coming into the season and drop him down to second or third. But, again, it's about winning football games. You know what I mean? Florida State is currently right now being measured against itself, and and they're saying they want to win championships. Okay, so then I'm measuring you against trying to win a championship. So if you want to win a championship, Trey Benson can't be your number one back, and that's tough. That's a hard thing that you have to do as a head coach. But making millions of dollars, and that's what you're here for. You have to make those tough calls. You have to make those tough decisions. And at this point, I would not roll out with Trey Benson as my number one back. I would go with Toefele because Toefele also is a veteran, and he has the ability to catch passes out of the backfield a little better, does more things in the offense. I would go with, if I'm wanting to run the football, I'm going Rodney Hill. Like, if I'm going between the tackles, I'm going to run the football, I'm going Rodney Hill. You know what I mean? Like, so at this point, I'm looking and I'm saying there's zero reason for me to be playing Trey Benson if Trey Benson is tiptoeing. Even on the touchdown, Trey Benson, tiptoeing. You know what I mean? He got through. He scored. It's just he didn't hit the hole and power through. It was, again, tiptoeing. It just happened to find a lane. He did, like you said, it's who he is because he did it last year. We complained about it last year. Then all of a sudden he found a rhythm, and we kept thinking, all right, he'll eventually find that rhythm. We don't. Right. The goals are different this year. Last year you were able to wait for Benson to find it. To find his rhythm because you had Ward. Correct, because you had Ward to do it. So now you don't have Ward to do. You don't have Ward. So okay, who is your new Ward? And in my opinion, that's Hill. So then let Hill be your Ward, and then let Benson come in and feature off of Hill.
Yeah,
but there's no circumstance. Yeah.
It's something last year, and I think I said this coming into the season. It was one of my, and it was the reason why I picked LSU to win the game. You know, even though I was wrong, I was concerned that we was gonna be trying to get the ball to guys that are supposed to have all this NFL potential, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Last year, Florida State came out and knew exactly who they was. They ran the football early and often. Even against bats, and they ran the ball early. I mean, one game they had a game where Jordan Travis threw the ball like 7 times, and they ran the ball like 60 times. First game right before LSU, they ran the ball like 60, 70 times, bro. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and that was my concern, was like, okay, you got all these weapons now, all these big names, all these, I'm going first round. You know, like, the evaluation is the evaluation. Like, I hate saying this stuff because people get mad. They feel like you're hating on the team, but it's like, okay, man, it's some good college football players on this team. Are they first rounders? Is it any stat that you're going to be able to put up that's going to make Trey Benson a first round, a second round running back? No. I mean, the eval is the eval at this point. You know what I'm saying? There are some things with Jordan Travis and the way he throws the football. It's kind of funky, where I think it's hard to throw short intermediate routes with him. So I think Norvell is calling plays that showcases Jordan Travis and the things that he can do well. I don't think he throws short intermediate passes well, and I think that's why they don't do it. You know what I'm saying? If you just watch the way he throw the football, it's a funky release, right? It's kind of funky. So Coleman is great. I think Coleman's a first rounder. Wilson, I don't think he's a first round wide receiver talent, man. I think he's like
a second, third.
I think he's a third round guy, maybe fourth round guy. Mm-hmm. Because in the NFL, it becomes all about getting you out of your breaks, right? You got to get in and out of breaks. That lumbering stuff doesn't work in the new NFL. It's not like back in the early 2000s when somebody would just take a big wide receiver and say, oh, we'll throw a jump ball. Like, these cornerbacks nowadays don't allow you to catch jump balls no more like that, bro. You have to really eat. Like, you got to be a special wide receiver to catch a bunch of jump balls in the NFL. Like, really special. So, yeah, see, like he's saying, we got 3 first rounders on this team, and I don't particularly see that.
I don't want to deviate real quick because I know we got a hard stop. Who are the 3 first rounders?
I see good college football players. I do.
I'm legit trying to, like, I know Coleman is the first rounder.
Right. Coleman is the first rounder.
Verse is probably going to be a first rounder, even though,
I think what you see is a guy that's more of a second round, mid second round, probably late second round pick.
So I went back and watched the game, right? And in my opinion, I think Verse is actually not playing as bad as what we said. Like, I think Verse is getting doubled a lot and even chipped. The problem I have is with everybody else on the defensive line.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Like, they've shifted the pass protection to stop Verse. We're not going to let Verse play.
Let me ask you this question, though. I'm being serious here.
Yeah.
Jermaine Johnson, when he came to Florida State, was there any talent on the defensive line when he got here?
Yeah.
Did they double, triple team and chip him? He's the only defensive end we had.
Sometimes. And I don't know if he got it.
He got it just as much, and he was consistently fucking shit up for offenses, consistently doing that. And in big games, he was even better.
Now, I give you that. Now, that was one thing about Jim. When you needed a game from him, he would give a game.
And guess what? He didn't even go first round. I mean, he went the back end of the first round. The back end of the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think
making an impact. Listen, I ain't saying Verse is making an impact. I'm saying Verse is not playing as bad as what I think we're saying, because he is getting doubled and he's not. I look at Peyton, I look at Fable, I look at Fisk, and I say those guys got to step up, because if he is getting doubled and getting chipped, you got some one-on-ones and them guys ain't winning the matchups.
I think Fisk is playing pretty good personally. Fable
is playing good.
Fable, play better. You know, I say this about Fable, no hate. I mean, what are you in college for, like, this is like his 6th year.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was a first-round talent, would he be here?
Yeah.
Same conversation I had about Robert Cooper last year. Like, if he was a second-round, first-round talent, would he be at Florida State? Like, Who stays? Yeah. Who stays at college long if they're a dominant player like that? Unless you're a quarterback. Yeah. Most times quarterbacks will come back, but other than that, everybody else, they out. You know, so they're good college football players. They got to play better. I think, and I do think another part of this is, I think that the team, I don't think the problem is game day. I'm curious what the practices look like. You know, is it a lot of sitting out right now? Because I know they had some guys banged up, so maybe they're not practicing some of the guys as much as they should be practicing. You know, it's just a lot of things, man. But I think they have to, that offense has to play better. The defense is what it is. It's going to do what it does. Like, that's just, I'm to the point with the defense, I don't really complain as much about it no more because, you know, you see, I put certain stuff in the group chat and I'd be like, why don't they pass this stuff off? Why are they making a running back run 35 yards down the football field covering a wheel route like that? You know, like, why don't you just pass it off to a safety? It makes no sense to me. But at this point, the defense is what it is. It's going to do what it's going to do. Like,
what I was going to say, I want to touch on defense very quickly. Defense is crossing routes, motion, running quarterbacks. They're going to give us trouble. Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no, we don't, again, third and 15, third and 20. Bad teams shouldn't pick up third and 15, third and 20. Again, it's a QB draw. You know what's coming. It's third and 15. Yeah. They're on their own 5-yard line. A QB draw is a draw is coming. I don't care what, like, you know what I mean? That's the safe play.
Yeah.
Draw is coming. Like, you know what I mean? We all know that's the play call.
Right.
So the fact that nobody's in position to stop a draw play on third and 15 is crazy to me. Like, I don't know, man. The defense is going to be the defense. I've often said it on some of Mike's best teams in Memphis, the defense really was never good. His offense is usually home.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to say it's probably going to be I'm going to say the offense will figure it out. The defense is going to continue to struggle at times and get stops when they need to. Again, it's a very bend, don't break. We'll make a stop here. We'll make a play here. We'll get an interception here. We'll force turnover here. And we also can give up some long drives to teams who ain't got no business where every play somebody's going to be wide open. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be frustrating, but it's going to be what it is. Like, this defense, like you said, it is what it is. Like, they're not great. They are
They play good in situations.
Fourth and short, you need to stop.
You get in the red zone.
Red zone, they'll get you that field goal instead of that touchdown if you need it. Like, right. They play very good in spots. And I agree with that. Like, if you need it, I do believe this team will come. Like, in other words, I think if BC would have got the ball back, I don't think they would have got field goal position to win the game. I do think this defense would have held because, again, we've seen a lot of it. But, boy, outside of those situations, it's going to be real tough. It's going to get real dicey for this team. And I'm not sure if
when you start looking at the matchups, you know, now the Duke game you kind of look at that Duke game and be like, I wonder.
Duke game feels scary now.
Right. Miami feels scary now. You know, Miami feels a little okay. All right.
Miami feel different now.
Yeah, it feels a little different. Yeah, you Miami know,
feel a little different. I mean, I feel different about how I felt last week. I still don't think they beat us, but it's not nearly the rock that I thought it was going to be. It's going to be a hard fight. Like, Miami going to be tough. I think Duke going to be a tough game. Florida might be a tough game.
Somebody put the secondary is not executing their assignments. I'm telling y'all, man, Brandon, you seen the cut-ups I sent you, and I was like, I think that's what they're asking them to do. I really don't
they
think
play, that. Well, the problem is they play man, right? They play man basically across the board. Our DBs are better than your wide receiver. So we're going to play man across the board. So if you're playing man across the board, all it takes is one person to not miss, to, you know what I mean? And they'll run a bunch of crossing. They're going to run a bunch of stuff that gets your, that challenges your obviously. So at this point, if I got crossing routes and this is my man, they cross, somebody going to be open every single time. And they don't play zone well enough to play zone. So you're stuck in man, which means that guys are going to absolutely be wide open. They can't cover trips because trips is hard on man-to-man defense. You need a zone. You need to play zone on trips. The reason being, but they don't because they're not good at it. So at this point, they run man and trips, everybody running different directions. All it takes is one man to, you know what I mean, to think, I got him because he came over in my face. And it's a wrap. If you don't talk well, if you don't communicate well, there's going to be a guy open
right
almost every time. And that's what we've seen. Like, And I imagine a better quarterback, better offense will be able to punish Florida State on. Now, I don't know if the thing about it is our schedule. I don't know how many quarterbacks on our that we have left on our roster who can really make us pay for it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know. And that's where I do feel, you know, I still feel good about the team.
Right.
Like, our schedule is not that difficult to where a lot of teams are going to make us pay for the fact that our defense isn't that good. And we are good enough situationally to where we should win some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, is and I keep saying it, they just got to get better. They got to get Florida better. The only thing that bothers me about Florida State not being better right now is because it's an older team. So in my opinion, because you're an older team, you should be a little better than what you are, especially in games like the BC game and the Southern Mississippi game, because you're an older team.
Yeah, they would have been in the better. This game should have ended up like 45-17 or something like that, right? I don't know what the hell happened on that Toa Philly play. I can't figure it out. It's just, you know, lack of focus or whatever, right? So Toa Philly fumbles, gives up easy seven. You know what I mean? Here, onside kick, Benson gets into a weird play, ball bounce funny, gives up. You know what I mean? Like, it was at the end of the game was they turned it off in the game, and football can get fluky sometimes. You know what I mean? Right. And so when you turn it off, you get a little lackadaisical. It can happen. It's why, like I said, I don't necessarily feel that different about what I think about Florida State. My only thing is Jordan Travis needs to play better. That's 100%. I think he will play better.
They're going to play better next week. They're going to play better.
That's what I'm saying. I think next week they will be up. You won't have to – nobody got to motivate them. Nobody got to hype them. It's Clemson. They will be up to play Clemson in Death Valley to win it. So you will see a completely different team. They'll be more focused. They'll be more energetic. They'll hit harder. But because this team does have a lot of talent and owns some – and you got a whole bunch of people on one-year rentals, it's very easy to say, all right, we have 31-10. We kind of took the gas off early in the game or whatever it is. We have 31-10. We control the game. It's over, guys. Let's pack up everything. Yeah, right. It was like the game felt like, yeah, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. It went horribly. And that's one of the it was fluky to me. I don't look at the game and say I'm looking at more from a championship perspective. How does this team win a championship? And when I look at this, I'm saying get your best player the ball more in wide receiver. You run the offense, Jordan Travis, and switch Benson. Right. The defense is what it is. You do those three things better, you route a lot of the teams on your schedule going forward.
Yeah.
If you continue to play the way they played, if they continue to do the same things they're doing, then in some of these games that should be routes will just be a little closer than what, you know, I think. I still think they win them. They'll just be a little closer than what, you know what I mean, than what we thought.
Yeah, they got to create, like I keep saying, they got to create championship habits, man. They got to create championship habits, man. They got to, you know, and I know we just talked about this, but, you know, USC offense consistently hums. Georgia defense consistently hums. If you're going to be good at one area of your football team, if one area is going to carry the rest of your football team, it has to play at a championship level. This offense has the ability to play at a championship level. It needs to play like that consistently because against LSU in that that second half, they executed LSU into the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like they put a lot of pressure on them. So executing like that at a high level on one side of the football, man, it does so much and kills the other team's momentum. So,
yeah,
that's all. Yeah, that's all.
And yeah, and last thing I want to say is what T. Murray said, humble pie tastes good sometimes. I agree. Sometimes you do need, like, I think this game helps Florida State a whole lot. Because they won, but it helps Florida State because now you're saying, okay, they exposed a lot of things. We saw, you know what I mean? We were feeling ourselves. Maybe some press clippers got read, Heisman talk, all this stuff. You know what I mean? Nobody ain't said nothing negative about it. You don't have nothing to feed off of. You know what I mean? Like, one thing about Colorado gets the hate every week. Every week, you got people for them, but then you got a large group of people who just hate them because of Deion and Prime and all that stuff. So now you have, you kind of have something to fuel off of. Florida State ain't have nobody said a negative word about them all, you know what I mean, all season long. They've been propped up. I think the fact that they're going to take some hits this game, this week, they're going to feel some stuff. Things going to get a little different. I think you can shift them back into focus. I think it's a good thing for it.
Yeah, you know, they'll be fine this week. They'll bounce back, you know, they'll bounce back this
week. Also, that Travis Hunter hit was one of the dirtiest hits I've seen in football in my life.
It was unnecessary.
Like, watching it on replay, It was real intentional. It was real dirty.
Because the ball clearly was out of bounds.
Yeah, and I'm saying, and if I'm whoever, like they coach from what's his name, I don't know what what punishment is done, but you got to punish the kid, man. That, like, that's not football. That's not football.
Yeah. That was such a great game last night. It's the best game of the week.
And I like, listen, Colorado's become must-see television. It's a spectacle, bro. They got celebrities. You got fans. It's in Colorado.
What is amazing about them is they play like they've played together for 2 years.
It's really weird, ain't it?
They don't get a lot of procedure penalties. If not a lot of, oh man, you forgot to cover this guy. Like, even they defense, when people get open, like they had yesterday, they got killed by crossers. But it's never like a guy just wide open against their defense. I told somebody in I was listening to
Urban. Alabama has a quarterback, they just don't want to play.
Neither
one of them are good, but
I listened to Urban Meyer talk to Dion on the Big Noon Kickoff yesterday, and he was like, "Man, I am so impressed with your practices, Dion. I am so impressed with your practices." He was like, "It's the most impressive thing I've seen." As far as he said, it looks like Bama level, and what it looked like my practice at Ohio State. He was just saying like how fast they get in and out of segments of practice and stuff like that. But it is impressive though. That is impressive. Like they can do all this in one year.
Melrose the quarterback.
Yeah, they can say what they want to say about him.
He's the guy who should be starting. The guy who should be starting. We saw it. We actually was very early in that game. They should have made that switch back. All right, buddy. We tried this. This is not going to work. Let's go. You know what I mean? So, but Sam said it. I ain't going to say it again. Sam said it. You know the rules.
Yeah, it was. Yeah man. But that Colorado sensation. I mean, it's going to end next week because they're going to get beat by Oregon.
Oh, they're going to get beat by 40. Yeah.
And they'll get beat by USC.
By another 40 or 50. Yeah, it's gonna get ugly out there. Next couple weeks, Colorado gonna be tough. But then they're gonna prove, like you said, but after that, Hunter come back, they'll cruise the rest of the game.
So it is impressive stuff, man. I gotta give it to
Definitely. Hey, well, you got anything else, sir?
No, that's it, man. Make sure y'all subscribe.
I can say you wanna do another one? Yeah, for the actually because we can talk Clemson.
I might better get one in. I see. My week's been so long without this pressure washing. It's getting bigger. I thought it was going to usually slow down around this time of the year, but I got a lot on the plate, actually. But I'm going to see if I can get some in this week. I will, though.
Okay. Yeah, man. So we'll try to get another one in, so we'll break down Clemson.
And then I got we're
giving you a little bit of our thoughts, man. I believe Florida State going to win. If we don't get another one, I'm picking Florida State to win it. I actually think Florida State to win it to look a lot almost like LSU in my opinion. I believe, you know, the absence of a mobile quarterback for Clemson hurts them.
Yeah.
And they don't have nearly the wide receiver core. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And I think that team may have checked out on that as well, but we'll figure that out as well.
Yeah, I think FSU wins. I think it's a low scoring. Well, as low scoring as college football game can be. I think it's 28-24 Florida State.
There you go. All right. Hey, guys, we appreciate y'all checking out with us, man. This is the Listen Up Podcast. We out.
Yep.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yep.
Serve crack. Uncle fronted me some pizza.